Father, we thank you for this great morning. We thank you for this place that we can come and we can worship, we can gather, we can fellowship. And Lord, just the calling that you have upon us as individuals and as a church as we leave this place to be ministers of the gospel, to serve the world sacrificially, to love others intentionally. Father, this morning I pray that you would be in our presence. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts and encourage us. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 7 through 9. 1 Corinthians 7, 7 through 9. And if you're in need of a Bible, we'll have some ushers coming down the aisles to hand out Bibles. If you need to borrow one or if you need one to take home, it's yours. It's a gift from us. Maybe some of you are wondering, why is Andy wearing a Hawaiian shirt? Maybe some of you don't care. Maybe some of you didn't notice. It's not because I lost a bet. I'll just put it that way. What I'm trying to do is remind God what season it is. I feel like we got an early start to winter, don't you guys? 1 Corinthians 7, 7 through 9. Today, as we continue in this series that we're calling Mayday, here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to awaken all of us to a portion of our population that deserves a closer look and a better understanding. I want to draw our attention to the fastest growing population group in America right now, single adults. Singles, did you know this, that singles make up almost 45% of our adult population? Isn't that incredible? So today, for the singles who are here, widows and widowers and never been married and married and divorced, I'm hoping to offer you some biblical instruction that will help you live successfully single. But for everyone else, I'm hoping to offer some biblical instruction that will turn or affect our mindset and our attitudes and our behaviors to help us better understand this rapidly growing group of people. There are some common misperceptions about people who are single. Something must be wrong with them, or they must not be able to get along with anyone, right? Well, I know married people who fit that bill, don't you? And I think both are attitudes that have been influenced by our culture. Our culture has suggested for a long time that being married or being in a relationship is what is normal. That's what our culture says. And so for those of us who are married, let's not be so quick to use a person's status to draw conclusions because of what the culture says. Number one on your outline, why would anyone be single? And I want to look at just verses 7 through 8 as we begin in 1 Corinthians 7. And so Paul addresses this topic. I wish that all of you were as I am, Paul writes. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and one has that gift. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. So some people are single by circumstance. In other words, if they had their choice, they would not necessarily choose the single life, but it's where God has them right now. Some may be single by choice. Not every single wants to be married. Perhaps they prefer the single life on its own merits, or maybe singles are content in their singleness. Perhaps they have chosen to remain single for other reasons. After all, while there are advantages to being married, there are also advantages to being single, as we'll learn about in a few minutes. So Paul uses this phrase, gift from God. He says, I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. And there's been a lot of confusion over that phrase. What Paul is saying here, singleness is not a spiritual gift. It is a gift that is meant to bless you spiritually. And there's a big difference there. Some have suggested that what Paul is saying here is that being single is a spiritual gift, just like all the other spiritual gifts you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, like the gift of evangelism or the gift of leadership. And some would say we got to throw in there now because this is what Paul is saying, the gift of being single, singleness. I don't think that's at all what Paul is saying here. He's using the idea of singleness as a gift from God, not a spiritual gift. So if singleness or celibacy are not spiritual gifts, why does the Bible say singleness is a gift? Well, again, while I do not believe that Christians have the spiritual gifting of singleness or marriage, I do believe that singleness and marriage are both gifts from God. I also believe that some Christians are more suited for one or the other. And it's exactly what Paul's saying. Clearly, some are better suited for the life of marriage, and some are better suited for the life of singleness, because marriage and singleness are gifts that are meant to meet the needs of the Christian in order to empower that person to serve God with the greatest impact. And if you can better serve God in singleness, Paul says, stay single. And if you can better serve God as a married person, then Paul says, get married. Again, rather than see singleness and marriage as spiritual gifts that we possess, I believe a more biblical view is to see singleness and marriage as gifts that are meant to bless us spiritually. If you're single right now, you have the gift of singleness right now. If you get to marry one day, then you'll have the gift of marriage. I want to talk about advantages and disadvantages to being single. Here are some advantages. You don't have to ask permission, simply meaning I don't have to ask permission, nor do I have to answer to anyone. So obviously, being single doesn't exclude you from being accountable to God. So there's a group of pastors that I meet with once a month here in Fargo. We go out to lunch, and then we just really get into whatever conversation that we get into, and it's really just such an edifying, encouraging, challenging time for all of us. But here's what we found is that, like, every time we go to lunch and we get into something, it's like, oh, it's time to go. Somebody has to leave, and it's like, man, we really just wish that we could spend a lot of time together. So somebody came up with this idea of going to a pastor's conference in Minneapolis called the Minnesota Twins. And I thought, that's brilliant. You know, we get to spend 8 hours in the car together. And I'm going to tell you, you know, it's funny because we were almost home and I thought, this is interesting because guys often can ride in a car together and not say anything. I don't think we stopped talking for 8 hours. It was just that encouraging and uplifting. It was just awesome. But here's how the whole thing started. One of the pastors, after we talked about it, went home and then he texted first and he says, I can go. My wife says I can play on the 15th. The next pastor says, I can go too, with an exclamation point. Woo! Exclamation point. And then Andy, question mark. They hadn't responded yet. And I said, I didn't have to ask permission. And I did the rolly eye emoji. I'm in. And then the very next pastor said, I thought we decided we weren't going to lie to each other. True. Don't have to ask for permission. Financial independence. Some singles, because they don't have the responsibility of family, are able to experience financial freedom much easier. Some would say, I have control over my time. I've heard single people say, I can do what I want. You finish it. Whenever I want, right? Some would be spared from the complexity of marital conflict. This is even more emphasized when I hear married couples say, I was single once before, and I would have no problem being single again. I think that's a terrible statement to say, but it shows the stress and the tension that some married couples experience at times. And so a single person might say, I'm spared from the complexities of that conflict. Flexibility and mobility. And then there's another one that Paul mentions in verses 32 through 35, freedom to serve the Lord. And I think this is really powerful. Listen to what he says. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. And so the call here for the single person is this, is if you are single, what Paul is essentially saying is don't waste it. Live your life to the full for the sake of the kingdom of God. Make the most of every day and every opportunity for Christ. And then I would say this is, remind those of us who are married that the kingdom of God is more important than marriage, children, possessions, and so on. Remind us. Remind us through your dedication that Christ and his kingdom is supreme and altogether worthy of every ounce of our dedication. I think that we can learn that from you. There are disadvantages to being single. The first one I thought of is loneliness. Now, just because a person is single doesn't mean that they're lonely. Loneliness is not always directly associated with a relationship status. I have met many people who are married that are lonely. But there's that potential for a single person. There's this pressure from others to get married. People who are married sometimes like to pressure those who are single, get out there, find somebody, don't lose hope. And we say things like, I'll be praying that God will bring the right person to you at the right time. And I think, again, it's easy to assume that God wants everyone to be married and experience the wonderful bliss of marriage. A married person once said to a single person, are you still single? To which the single person said back, are you still married? Right? And we're all guilty of that. Many singles feel pressured, even from other Christians, to seek a mate rather than us encouraging them to seek God. And we can do a huge disservice to a single person when we turn the vice clamp and we crank it one more rotation, pressuring singles to find a partner before it's too late. And this pressure often causes confusion for the person who is called by God to the single life. And that confusion sometimes leads to wrong decisions. I was talking to somebody in the bathroom. Yes, men do talk in the bathroom once in a while. It's awkward, but we do. And we were talking about that phrase right there, and that sometimes this huge disservice of really encouraging people to quickly get married. And so they get married, and then it's this decision of, what did I just do? And they reacted out of pressure. There's this deafening sound of the biological clock. This could be a disadvantage. And people who are single wishing or thinking that they're supposed to have a partner, they hear this constant noise in their head that sounds like tick, tock, tick, tock, that the time is running out. And then, of course, there's sexual temptations. Verse 9, Paul writes this. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. All of you, you've probably seen that commercial of where the guy sprays Axe body spray all over himself and all these girls come flocking. I no doubt that's over-exaggerated a bit. But the truth is that sexual desires and temptation seem like a daily battle. And sometimes it seems like multiple times a day. And the Bible speaks directly about and against fornication, meaning sex outside of marriage, meaning that sex before marriage and sex with another outside of your marriage is clearly in Scripture a sin. But God knows all about our sexual desires because he created them. Sex is not a bad thing unless we choose to give into temptations outside of what the Bible teaches and is made very clear. So Paul says, if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. In other words, if two single people are together and they're burning with passion for one another, they should marry. The temptation is too strong. One time, Lori and I were sitting in our living room talking to some young people who are preparing for marriage, and there's a group of them there, And we were talking to them about the importance of sexual purity before marriage. And then Lori says, out of nowhere, that's why we married so young. And I looked at her and I said, that's why you're in such a big hurry? And it reminds me of another conversation that Lori and I had. Lori, and you've probably had a similar conversation, but Lori has said to me in the past, if I were to die, you'd be remarried within 6 months. Thank you for laughing at that. That wasn't, I didn't say that to be funny. This next part I think is funny. But if you were to die, I don't think I'd remarry, or at least not right away, right? I want you to just let that sink in for a second. That statement can mean a number of different things. For her to say, if you were to die, I don't think I'd remarry. What's that supposed to mean? Let me share with you something I think is helpful, and it's status versus identity. Status defines what we are. I am single. I am married. I am widowed. It's what we are. But identity defines who we are. I'm a child of God. I'm chosen. I am adopted. I'm redeemed. I'm loved. I'm valued. Singleness, like being married, is a status and it's not an identity. No matter our status and no matter our circumstance, our identity never changes when we're in Christ. So whether we're single or whether we're married, we all have the same identity in Christ. Let's be reminded of that. At this time, I want to invite a few of my friends up on stage. We're going to have a discussion up here. And as they come up, I want to share with you just a challenge for one thing. And I would say this, no matter your status, whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever it is, no matter your status, try this week to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
So, again, like I said, first service, you know, just forget these people are out here, and we're just going to have a conversation, and you guys get to listen in. Why don't you tell us who you are and just a little bit about yourselves? Anybody could start.
I'm Mary Grove. And a little bit about myself. Moved here in in North Dakota in 2014. My husband went home with the Lord in 2012. And what brought me to North Dakota, because people said, why did you move from Kansas to North Dakota? It was my oldest son and his wife had my first and only grandchild, and invited me, if I wanted to come and live in the same area. And I said, I'm all for it. So that's what brought me here. Also, kind of a little aside of what I do that's maybe interesting, I do in-home pet care. I move into your home and take care of your dogs or cats or birds or fish or whatever. And actually become their nanny while you're gone.
Great. Thank you. I'm not going to say what I said for service.
You're not going to say that?
Okay. I think that was mean. I don't think my dogs liked it. She does a great job, by the way. If you ever need somebody. James?
For those of you who don't know me, my name is James Saylor, and I am a college student at NDSU. I have the privilege of working part-time on the custodial staff here at Bethel Church, and just this month, I started a position as a travel ambassador at the FM Visitors Center, so that's a bit about me.
Good morning, I'm Marcia Moberg. I moved back to North Dakota 6 years ago, I think now. I spent some time in California after graduate school and Minnesota for several years, and then came back home and have been attending Bethel here ever since. I work at Doosan Bobcat in the IT department, and I have never been married.
Well, I got a first question for you guys, and maybe just a couple of you take a stab at this one. And here's the question. Do you embrace being single, or do you sometimes find yourself in a place of struggle?
I embrace being single. I ditto everything that Andy said this morning. I just kept sitting there going again, nodding my head, yes. I really believe that the time that I was married, God gave me the gift, that gift of being married to my husband, to basically to use it to being a transforming power in my life, to really trust him more, to trust the Lord more. With the many circumstances and things that we dealt with during our marriage time. But I also believe that God being sovereign, that he knew one day I would be a widow, and that he's using my widowhood now to not only to be able to reach out and to minister to women who have become widows, because I understand marriage and I understand being a widow, but also, I guess, sort of to be a cheerleader and say that there is life after your husband passes, and that I can be really freed up now and find it a real gift and find the blessings that there are being single again.
I think a little bit of both. So wouldn't consider myself called to being single. I think like before every season, I have dreaded the next one. So going into my 30s, not being married, all of my friends getting married. I was part of a large singles group in California, and we had about 80 people. And one summer, there were 11 weddings. And I moved out there with the leftover camper utensils and plates and all of that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to all these weddings and buying shower gifts and wedding gifts. And I started to get a little bitter that I wasn't getting a shower, and I still had these old mismatched plates and utensils. So I turned it around a little bit, and I had actually read a book that said that I wasn't waiting. I wasn't waiting for the next stage. This is my stage. And to embrace it and live in it, so I got a bunch of wedding gifts too.
That's great.
Yeah, if I could just add something to that. My husband always had a saying that the Lord, we're in different chapters in our lives. And, you know, when you're reading a book, you just keep reading until you close the book at the end. And so I don't go back and look at the back chapters. I'm keep moving forward. I glean what I've learned from those chapters. It's like when you read a book. But I keep moving forward until the Lord takes me home.
James, why don't you take this next one? Do you believe that there is a stigma or stereotype placed on you because you're single?
I think there definitely is a stereotype, and it's really interesting because I think it varies depending on the setting. You know, you were talking about this just a minute ago, and I think in culture at large, as you said, we're seeing this rise in the number of people who are single, and it seems like now more than ever, a lot of people, they're looking for that connection and that fulfillment and that status that comes with having a relationship. But more people, I think, are avoiding the commitment of actually getting married because they like, you know, the benefits of being single, of having that freedom and kind of having that easy exit and that option of, hey, I still have more control over what I do. And so I think there's definitely a stereotype in our culture at large that singleness is good and marriage is kind of, you know, the whole old ball and chain imagery. But it's interesting because...
Easy.
It's interesting because in the church, it seems like there's almost the opposite stereotype. And that, especially as you get older, like I'm still pretty young, I'm in my early 20s, but especially as you get older, there's a greater expectation of, you know, you're going to get married, or why aren't you married, as you were saying. And I think most of the time, it's not ill-intended, but we take this amazing thing that God created in Genesis, marriage, and that's affirmed and promoted throughout the entire Bible, and we start to think that, you know, it's, you know, that milestone that you have to achieve when, I mean, as we see Jesus and Paul and a lot of other people in the scripture were never married.
Yeah. You made me think of a question. Marcia, I'm going to ask you this question. It wasn't one of them. I sent you ahead of time. So are you okay with that?
Yes.
Just take a stab at it.
All right.
Because you mentioned the large singles group that you were part of in California, and then what James was just saying, I think it's interesting that 80 people in a singles group, that seems really large. I don't know how many single people attend Bethel, but when we think of half of the adult population, 45 or nearly half, 45%, that's not proportionate to who is attending church. So what keeps singles from attending church? Can you think of some things that...
Yeah, no, I think thinking back to those days too, and then as all of those friends were getting married, one of the things that I would hear is people, it felt really lonely to come into church and sit by yourself. I never did it. You were my friend before you got married, you're going to stay my friend after you're married, so I sit with you anyway. So they didn't get much of a choice. I remember hearing it, yeah. And that everything is couples focused, and there's, but I think it's also part of that. Do you embrace it?
Yeah.
This is my gift, and I can have joy in this today or not. And when I went through an unhealthy period of comparing, I can't say that I still don't do it every once in a while. It's just not as often, but just like, why not me? And so I think the more we can affirm those separate gifts, I loved how you said that today, there's a place for both. I think that.
Thanks for doing that. I just got to thinking what James has said. So, what are some ways, Mary, maybe you take this one. What are some ways you find a deep connection with people?
Well, the first way that I find a deep connection is getting to know if that person has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then I believe that we can have a really deep connection. You can have a lot of friends, but then there are only some that are in another circle that you can really relate to each other in a way that you can't with the world. And so for me, is getting to know, I'm interested in hearing about your testimony and sharing my testimony. Because when I share my testimony with another believer, there's that sense I can feel in them of the joy as to when they share their testimony with me. So it would be getting to know them, having them, iron sharpens iron. And having that type of relationship where I can be really open and honest, and I want to be corrected when I'm wrong, and that then I can do that with them, and there's that understanding between us that we're here to help each other grow and point us toward the Lord to be more transformed, to be like Him.
That's good. Thank you. James, I got one for you. What do you find most challenging as a single person?
I think when I think about what are the challenges, it's maybe not like specific settings like, when I'm in this setting, it's extra hard. But I know from time to time, I think anyone who's single, whether you've never been married or you have been married and aren't for whatever reason, I think there are times where you have those thoughts of why not me, or you have those thoughts of it's awesome to celebrate with others, and you're like, there's a lot of good in marriage and in relationships. God designed them really good. And so sometimes it's easy to fall into the mindset of what am I missing out on? And as we've mentioned, I think the important thing is to realize that there are different gifts God's given us, and that there are benefits and there are going to be challenges to each one. And we can choose how we steward that, and if we make the most of it, or if we feel sorry for ourselves.
Marcia, does being single ever affect your relationship with God? Do you ever, negatively or positively?
I've... I think it's all been positive. So one of the stories I told myself, moving away to go to graduate school, moving out to California by myself, I found myself saying both times, like, this would be so much easier if I had a partner to do this with. And found one of my prayer journals from the time, and I think that's all it said, like, you know, where is he? But then what the positive coming out of that is that I did it. God did it, you know, helped me do it. And so it's made me really, really incredibly focused on there's nobody else out there to complete me. Like, there, it doesn't take somebody else for me to be able to do what God has intended me to do. And just staying focused on that, and that he equips me. He supplies my every need. He is my security, not some other person.
So just real quickly, just we're going to popcorn this. You know what that means? Okay. What's your favorite thing about being single? All three of you. Just.
I'm the only one who has to like the new curtains.
You're what? What's she saying?
I'm the only one who has to like the new curtains.
Oh. Well, in a marriage, that's true, too. There's only one person. But thank you. Yeah.
I think for me, it's something that I came across this phrase in an article. Just being selflessly impulsive. And I love the opportunities. You know, you talked about the freedom and you have a freer schedule for your commitments. And so getting to go and help someone move, or getting together with a friend, or just doing different things with crew or with Bethel, or all the amazing things I'm able to be a part of, I know that I do have greater capacity and greater ability to do that because I'm not in a relationship where I need to be giving a lot of attention and time to someone. And so I think as I've gotten older, I used to be really like shy and restrained, and as I get older, I get more impulsive, but I want to be selflessly impulsive.
Okay. Favorite thing?
Not planning meals.
Again, I would say the same for married people. I don't do a lot of meal planning, so yeah. No, that thank you. That,
well, not planning, not only not planning, yeah. Not preparing them, and eating exactly the stuff that I really like.
Okay, one of you take this as we close, and I'll let you guys kind of arm wrestle this out, okay? Is there anything else you could say that will help us understand you better? Like, what would you want to say to us?
Include people that look like they're on the edges. You know, when you don't have a partner and everything is a partner event, think about the people who might like what you're doing. And they don't, you know, I guess just include.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Thank you. These guys do a great job. Let me pray for you guys before we go. Father, thank you so much for Mary, for James and Marcia, and thank you, Lord, for the season of life that you have them in, just as Paul talked about in Scripture. And I can just tell that they resonate with that and that gift. It may not always be that season, but Lord, that they would find their focus on you, that they would seek you first, the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And you say that you'll give us all that we need. And I pray that they would claim that as well, Lord. And thank you for allowing them to be brave and to have the courage to come up here and just impart their lives to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.